This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
What's your age?
22.
Are you single?
No.
How long you had that man?
5 years.
And how long have you had a baby?
She's almost 2.
So how much does he have to make to take care of you and your daughter?
At least $1,000 a month.
$1,000 a month?
Food, you know, groceries, car insurance, diapers, wipes.
Cell phone, internet, electric bill, gas for the car, medical checkups for the kid. There's no way you're supporting 3 people on $1,000 a month. Unless you live with your parents, or we all misunderstood the question, and it was implied that she'd be working too. But that's beside the point. I'm getting too ADHD about this. We're supposed to be talking about women who don't have insane standards.
Now, how much would you say a man has to make annually to take care of a family of 3?
Annually, overall, at least 30 grand a year.
On just a baby? Or
every expense you would need for a stay-at-home mom and a child.
Jeez. Where do these people live? Am I that bad with money? I cannot figure out the math on this. Now she's saying she doesn't work, so I feel like you would need at least $50,000 a year to support a family of 3.
But if he's spending $30,000 a year on both you and your daughter, how much more would he need to make to live comfortably?
Oh, we are comfortable. That's comfortable.
So a family of 3 could survive off of just $40,000 a year?
Yeah. It's just not going to be a lavish lifestyle.
Sounds great. She doesn't need frivolous luxury items to be happy. The point is here that for every woman out there who's asking for a guy's bank statement on a first date, there are also the majority of women who are way more down to earth, who don't do things like that, and are fine with making things work without an endless supply of expensive material possessions. However, the problem is that there are many creators on the internet these days who show very unbalanced content where, without any nuance, women are always the villain, and there's never anything like, "Hey, I know there's this insane grifter named Tess Holliday who said she's anorexic, despite being big enough to be on My 600-Pound Life, but there's also women like Jeanette McCurdy who aren't massive liars, who try to help people with their eating disorders." The problem with the no-nuance narratives in the modern day where people don't go outside is that there are many men whose only experience with women is this type of content, so of course, if all you see is women doing bad things and you have little to no experience with women in real life, even as coworkers or in friend groups, then you're going to think that women are mostly evil gold diggers, which demoralizes people and makes them think that there is no point in pursuing a relationship. The issue is that's not reality. Reality is a lot more like this.
So how much would you want him to spend on a ring?
Over like $300.
But no less than?
I wouldn't care.
I think her heart's in the right place, but $300 is very cheap for an engagement ring. But more importantly, not every woman cares about having a $40,000 ring.
How much do you expect him to spend on a wedding ring?
I don't want him to spend too much. I think he should spend like less than $2,000.
I think what you see on TikTok doesn't describe the majority of women. The majority of women value good connection over what you can buy them. I mean, statistically, it must pan out that way because most married men don't have the price of a new car to spend on a ring. Now, expensive items are great provided that you have the means and a good relationship is already in place. But if they are valued and demanded over connection, like, say, someone with the facial expression of a sociopath like the Wizard Liz or a Manifestel would recommend, then that is a massive red flag. Couples shouldn't be preying on each other's prospects. They should be lifting each other up more like this.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
Do you have a car?
Yes, I do.
Would you date a man who didn't have one?
Absolutely. Who gives a fuck about any of that shit, genuinely? Who gives a fuck?
Okay, clearly she's drunk. It's a format. A lot of these channels interview women in areas where they know there are going to be lots of people who are under the influence. That's how Hawktua became a meme.
Hold on. So if you met a man out here and then he told you, yo, I don't have a whip, you'd still want to take it further?
I say you need a ride to the airport? I got you.
You pick him up for the first date too?
Of course.
I mean, the guy should have a car, but yes, there are plenty of women out there who are willing to make a relationship work despite limiting circumstances. These are generally the women that you want and not the ones who act like perpetual children, expecting the guy to do absolutely everything in the relationship, such as your average female Instagram influencer does. The benefit of being in a relationship where both parties behave like adults is stuff like you preventing her from doing stupid stuff that's bad for her, and she prevents you from acting out around the police. I don't know if they're in a relationship, but that's the kind of person that you want around you. She might have just saved that guy from getting arrested that night. But moving back to the depressed and demoralized person who watches YouTube, it's not just with women. There's actually a whole market for content that appeals directly to these people in kind of a pathological way. It's a very weird form of content that friends of mine call loser reveals. Basically, a loser reveal is when people farm how bad their life is going for content. Like, I'm 38 and still living with my parents. You also have, I'm 35 years old and never had a girlfriend before. Now, initially, I was sympathetic towards this kind of content until I learned it's like a proven format for views. Probably the most egregious producer of loser reveal slop content is this guy called Ask Japan, who started out as a Japanese teacher, but after he made this video and it did well, basically most of his videos have the energy of titles like this. I'm 50 years old Japanese man. I am lonely on Saturday night. I play Sailor Moon on Super Famicom. Or you have, I'm 50 years old Japanese man struggling with midlife crisis. My life is miserable. He's done so many videos that are like this that I would say he's milking this for content more than Pegasus milked the Mr. Beast drama. Look at those views. That is a masterclass in slop content. Bravo. I'm not kidding with how popular of a format this is, though. It pulls in so many views that channels like this one are clickbaiting depressed people with loser reveal content as a way of tricking them into watching a self-help video. Not as successful, but the loser reveal meta gets so many views that it spawned the anti-loser reveal meta. Though what's always been fascinating to me is how much information can completely change the trajectory of someone's life. Good information and a willingness to change can exponentially make someone's life better in a matter of like 2 years. But on the other side of that, bad information can destroy people's lives, and there is no shortage on the internet of poorly researched material that is demoralizing people and causing them to burn years of their young lives doing nothing. I've talked about this a lot in terms of the woke stuff, and more recently, I've been talking about how the manosphere demoralizes people with bad or flat-out wrong information. One of the prime ways they demoralize viewers is by being awful at interpreting studies or understanding data, or they're hiding crucial information that doesn't fit their narrative because it will get them less views, or they don't actually read the studies and they will cite data that they don't know the source of. That happens a lot, and I mean a lot. For example, these spaces love to quote a statistic that stems from this really old OKCupid study that mentions nothing about population size and say, look, women rated most men as unattractive, but forget to mention that women will still talk to these guys anyway. Do you know who is more exclusionary based on appearance? Men. 2/3 of men are messaging the best-looking 1/3 of women, so, no shit they don't get picked as often. Also, here's a guy who mentions that they don't really discuss how the attractiveness ratings were obtained. That matters because, for example, this totally decent-looking guy with a guitar here might have rated lower because he's a musician and that makes him look broke. Would he have rated higher if he took a picture next to a yacht in a suit or a lab coat in a hospital? How much of their physical appearance was related to markers of wealth or this guy's lack of emotion and really terrible hairstyle? Though to be perfectly honest, this study was removed from the OKCupid website like a decade ago and the archive is difficult to find, so I think that almost none of these people who are talking about it have actually read the entire thing. Yet they'll still quote it constantly, which is very irresponsible. You'll also see stuff like this Pew study where they'll say, look at all these single guys, it must be because women suck. Well, did the study say that? Or is it possible that they are single because they never go outside, and women in those age groups are less likely to be single because women typically date older men who have better jobs and are more willing to commit? I mean, do these people even look at their own charts? It says on the right that there was an 11% drop in men looking for relationships between 2019 and 2022 versus a 3% drop in women, So no shit, there's a big change from 2019 to 2022 in the number of single men. They aren't looking for relationships as often as they were before. Not to mention that this data was obtained during COVID when it was illegal to go outside, which forces everyone to use dating apps that heavily favor women. Do you want a better chance of success? Stop using apps and go outside. Seriously, some of these arguments from these groups are so far from reality that you can tell these people haven't interacted with anyone outside of a Discord or a Twitter argument in multiple years. I'm also getting really tired of every loser on the internet using some crazy chick on TikTok to justify why their life isn't going well, followed by statements like this.
But I do think it's crazy that I'm about to be 34 and I have no family. Because my dad had two kids by the time he was 27.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you know what the problem is, though? It's definitely not me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's everybody else.
Yeah.
That was funny. So is this whole Tenet Media thing. Speaking of bad research and bad arguments, let's talk about the black pill. There's a channel out there called Rehab Room who has reacted to some of my content, and he seems to really not like me, so let's look at some of the arguments. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the black pill, its most essential argument is that your ability to get women is solely based on genetics. So if you were born as an unlucky, oofy-doofy, sub-5 out of 10 male, then you have no chance and your life is over. Here's some commentary that Rehab Room did on a Redditor.
He made a public post on Reddit saying he can't get any matches no matter what he does. I mean, it is really no surprise. He's easily sub-5 in these pictures. Not that he's doing anything wrong, but rather he's looking wrong. That is the problem.
There's actually a lot this guy is doing wrong, and there's a lot of things he can do to improve his odds. For one, he can go outside instead of using dating apps. He can get a decent job. He can lose weight. And he can gain muscle and grow a beard. If he ends up having bad bone structure after the weight loss, the beard will compensate for that. Welcome to fashion. Enhance your good features, hide your flaws. Now, does that mean he's going to get a 10 out of 10 woman after he does that? No, but it will increase his odds of finding someone. And traditionally, unattractive people used to just date other unattractive people. Aren't you guys saying that women should lower their standards? How about you pay it forward? So that's the basic tenets of black pill ideology from what I've researched. Appearance is all that matters in relationships, and if you were born with the wrong features, then just give up. Rehab Room goes on to emphasize this point in sort of a passive-aggressive video reaction to me. Like, he doesn't specifically say that he's responding to me, but he is responding to arguments that came directly from this video that I made a few days prior, so I'm going to assume that this video, Get Better Hobbies, is a response to what I said in the video about Walter, the Starbucks guy. Let's hear Rehab's arguments.
There are very few things on this earth that repulse people and make them cringe more than a sub-5 man with confidence. Today, I am bringing you a prime example of this. Notice the difference in treatment these two dudes get. Not only by people they approach, but also people on social media. Like, same hobbies, same openers. The only difference here is their looks.
Okay, so setting the stage here, black pillars have a lot of their own terminology, which means I'll have to translate some things. But Rehab Room is about to compare two photography channels and the types of responses that they get from female strangers. We have 1.6 million subscriber channel Danny Damien versus Z, who has 1.6 thousand followers. Danny literally has 1,000 times his following, so I'm sure there won't be any sort of skill gap between these two creators. Every response they get is going to be due to the fact that Danny is a Chad Light and because Z is a sub-5 male. Sub-5 is incel terminology that means he's less than a 5 out of 10 in attractiveness, and Chad Light is a guy who's like a 7 to 8 out of 10. Not quite a Chad, but almost.
Stacy is any woman that an incel wants but cannot get.
Because the guys they call Chads?
Exactly.
Anyway, let's continue, starting with Z.
Hello, guys. Sorry to bother you. I'm Z. I'm a street photographer. Oh, God.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Just brutal stuff, man. I mean, these females ain't even hot. Not even remotely. He seems polite, positive, smiling, asking people what makes them happy, and people still looking at him like they are in a hostage footage.
Okay, so we didn't have that much time with Z here, and I don't think that this was the greatest clip to choose to introduce him to an audience. A big problem with Rehab's content is that he constantly assumes that everybody knows what he's talking about, which often comes off as confusing, so I'll have to slow things down here a bit. Now, you might have missed it, but I'll remind you that earlier, Rehab Room, in a backhanded way, called Z confident.
There are very few things on this earth that repulse people and make them cringe, more than a sub-5 man with confidence.
I'm not sure if Rehab has poor social skills or if he's experiencing a moment of confirmation bias, but Z doesn't sound confident in this clip. He sounds anxious. Let's hear it again.
Hello, guys. Sorry to bother you. I'm Z. I'm a street photographer. Oh, God.
This doesn't sound confident. The minute they show the slightest disapproval, he rushes his speech and gives up. A confident man would handle the rejection more calmly, so not the greatest example of Rehab's argument that Z was rejected for his looks, and not because most people say no when they're being solicited. Next up is Danny.
And now, let's remember what happens when you try the exact same line as a white shed light. Let's remember this.
Unfortunately, it wasn't on, but...
Guys, pay attention to the caption here, okay? The girl's skirt blew up, and they thought he filmed it. If this had happened with the first guy, Z, they would have called in the National Guard, the special forces. They would say, oh my god, such a creep. Are you surprised people treat you this way?
Again, these are terrible introductions to these creators. Not only was there a continuity error where Rehab said that Danny and Z said the exact same things to the women, when they, in fact, said completely different things, but we literally had less than 4 seconds before Rehab hits the pause button on Danny in comments, which means we barely get any time to get to know him or perceive his social skills, or even get to see what he looks like outside of a small picture for our first impression. A quick clip like that should be in the middle of the video, after the audience already knows who you're talking about. Anyway, off camera, the girl's skirt blows up like that famous Marilyn Monroe picture, and Rehab Room says that the only reason that these girls didn't immediately call the cops is because Danny is attractive. By the way, don't forget to show that you're different from the racist woke people by mentioning that Danny is successful because he has white privilege. Did you catch that, guys? There's a lot of that kind of rhetoric in Rehab Room's videos. These black pillars love using the same arguments that radical leftists use. They just say them differently. Kind of like how the manosphere promotes sexual promiscuity just like modern feminism does. But is it possible that the reason that Danny got a positive response here is because of how he handled the situation? Why don't we watch it again?
Unfortunately, it wasn't on, but...
It's very quick, but did you notice that they did accuse Danny of being a creeper? And instead of flipping out or acting like a deer in headlights, he maintains his composure and calmly says, "Fortunately, it wasn't on." The reason women are calling the guys creeps that Rehab is accusing of being sub-fives is not because they're unattractive. It's because when women say stuff like what they said to Danny, those guys get anxious and speed up their speech, or they freeze, or worse, they get mad and say stuff like, "No, I wasn't doing that. How dare you accuse me of being a creep?" Women aren't going to feel safe around men who act like that, which is why they get called creeps. I've seen plenty of men who are less attractive than Z do well in these situations. By the way, I don't think Z is too ugly for women to like him like Rehab does. Z looks fine based on his profile picture. I swear, after watching a bunch of his videos, Rehab acts like women bring out their rulers and measure a guy's facial proportions before they decide how to treat him. It wouldn't shock me if he's never been in a relationship before, because his portrayal of women is very much like he only experiences them through internet videos. So like I said, I've seen many guys who are less attractive than Z's profile picture handle situations like this well. Now, this doesn't mean that the girl will go out with those guys, but no one is asking anyone out here. And despite what I've heard black pillars say numerous times, you can navigate these situations without women thinking that you're weird or dangerous. even if you aren't a 10 out of 10 Chad.
When it is a dude woman find hot, they are gonna let him get away with anything. Meanwhile, people will micro-criticize every little thing you do. Oh, dude, bro, there wasn't enough distance, not enough space. Distance should have been bigger. That is why you got rejected. You said sorry, bro, that is why she didn't vibe with you. Cop after cop after cop.
No. If some guy they didn't know started taking creeper shots, even if he was a Chad, they would not be okay with that. Well, unless they were drunk or crazy. This is where you can kind of see that maybe this rehab guy doesn't go out that much and talk to people, because for most women, unless they're in a relationship or at least dating, they have pretty strong boundaries about those kinds of photos, especially if they're non-consensual. Let's see more from Z.
Hi. Sorry to bother you guys. I'm Z. I'm a street photographer, and I take pictures of people. And I believe you both are looking amazing for the photo shoot. Can I take a few pictures of yours?
It's okay.
No, we're okay, Frank.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
The face of pure cringe. She's cringing out of her mind, man.
Why wasn't this clip first? This is a much better clip as a viewer who has seen this for the first time, because you get more time to experience Z, which will be more memorable, and Z sounds more confident in this, which enhances an earlier point that you made. Also, from an entertainment perspective, the idea would be that you start with more attractive female rejections and bridge to less attractive women rejecting him, which is a more interesting progression, because it's not a shock for him to get rejected by more attractive women if you already showed him getting rejected by less attractive women. The way you formatted this makes future moments in your video less surprising to an audience. You know, if you actually outlined your content before recording or scripting, you wouldn't make these mistakes. Anyway, I bring skill up because this is also a skill issue on Z's parts. These women are in sweatpants and ponytails. On the other hand, this girl that Danny took a photo of is made up and ready to have pictures taken of her. So, no shit, she said yes. I'm not going to show it because it's kind of mean, but Z picks a lot of women who look like they just got out of bed or have zero fashion sense, which means they probably don't want photos taken of them or don't like taking photos. This is in contrast to Danny, who almost always approaches attractive women who clearly know how to present themselves. He obviously knows how to get 1.6 million subscribers.
Danny Damien photo kind of just seems like a thirst trap, if I'm being honest.
At least it's tasteful thirst trapping. Danny is also a much better photographer than Z, and that's relevant because Danny commonly opens by showing women his work before they say yes.
My name's Danny. I do free portraits for people. I make little videos. I was wondering if I could do a free portrait for you.
What would I need to do?
Here, I'll show you an example.
Those are nice.
My name's Danny. I'm a street photographer. I was wondering if maybe I could do a portrait for you. For free?
Yeah.
When Z takes photos, he just sort of randomly takes them without time to consider lighting or framing or what the person's doing. Because of that, you get these kind of family photos where people are uncomfortably standing next to each other, so of course tons of women are going to say no. On the other hand, Danny takes his time, he makes sure to set everything up, and he gives people direction when they don't know what to do.
I don't know how to pose, I'm not very good at it.
I will do all the work.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, just look up at me. Yeah, fix your hair one more time.
Wait, was that Earthbound music in the background of that video? Did I mention that Danny's a huge nerd? I could have sworn in one of the videos I heard Sonic the Hedgehog music. But of course they're going to say yes when he can take pictures like this. Good pictures are like a status symbol to women because good photographers are hard to find, professional photography is expensive, and Danny tells them that he will give them the pictures for free. And I will say that there's some very important information that Rehab Room did not show his audience, which was a compilation of Danny getting rejected. It's not that hard to find. It's one of only a handful of videos that he's done that aren't shorts.
Excuse me. Could I do a couple photo for you, too? It's free. I'll give it to you.
I would rather not.
Sure, no problem. I'm a photographer. I do free portraits for people. Could I?
Thank you.
No? No, thanks? All right. Okay, never mind. Excuse me.
Hello.
This might be a little strange, but I was wondering if you'd like some pictures. It's free.
No, we're good. Thank you.
No problem.
Look at their body language. Look at how disgusted those women were. So, doesn't that paint a much different picture? The Chad like gets rejected too. He isn't just an instantly successful guy who women would let get away with anything. Remember that Rehab Room said that, by the way. Bro, even Chad gets rejected at the club a bunch before a woman says yes. Sure, it's a lot easier to get compliance from people when you're attractive, But it doesn't mean that you get to skip all the skill building, nor does it mean that skill building is worthless for less attractive people. I doubt that Danny's success rate is still low these days because he can just say, look, I'm famous, but I bet when he got started, he got rejected all the time. Rejection is sales 101. Everyone who does sales has to get used to it. Even when he approaches and gets rejected in that video, he is still super calm the whole way through, which means he probably has had tons of practice of people saying no to him. On the opposite side of that, in most of the videos that I've seen of Z, who is a beginner, he sounds anxious and uncomfortable. Now, what if I told you that contrary to what Rehab said, there are women who not only consent to having their photo taken by Z, but are happy about it as well?
Sorry to bother you guys. I'm Z. I'm a street photographer, and I take pictures of people. And I believe you all are looking amazing.
Thank you.
Can I take a few pictures of you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. My name is Z, and I'm a street photographer, and I take pictures of people.
Okay.
And I believe you both are looking amazing. Can I take your pictures, please?
If you want.
Yeah.
Z shows a lot of rejections, but that's not every interaction. There's actually a number of them where he does very well. In fact, these girls seem quite happy to talk and have their photo taken. Oh look, their hair is done, they aren't in sweatpants, and they're wearing makeup. What a coincidence that these girls would be receptive to having their photo taken. I don't know what he said in this video here because there's no audio to it, but it looks like he's nailing this conversation. Is Z a Chad Light now? Last, these girls were not only receptive, but they even liked the photos.
Oh,
can you see the picture, please?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a good photographer.
I'm not going to show the photos because I don't think they were good. Z still needs to practice, and I don't know who that other guy was, but who am I to contradict customers who looked happy? Now, if you're going to make sweeping generalizations about people, then don't you think for transparency's sake, it looks kind of bad when you only show Z's failures while also only showing Danny's successes? Danny has failed a lot, he just doesn't show it as often. Here's a comment from an older viewer saying that Danny is very awkward when he approaches people from somewhere around a year and a half ago. It looks like Danny ended up leaning into that, which gives him an awkward confidence that is socially desirable.
I'm like the most awkward person ever.
You met the second most awkward person.
All right, let's go.
I think you're a nervous person like me, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm like really bad anxiety.
The other problem with this whole situation is I don't entirely think that Danny is someone who Rehab Room would describe as a Chad Light. Rehab is one of those people who thinks that your life is basically over and a woman will never love you if you're under 6 foot tall, and Danny is 5'8", which is shorter than average.
What's our heights?
5'8".
No, he's not dating that girl in the video. It's a long rabbit hole. Here's her real boyfriend. Don't waste your time. You're welcome. But I'm old enough to remember that time that Rehab Room said that you're a manlet if you're 5'8 or below.
You're a manlet, only 5'8.
This is what I mean with the whole red pill, manosphere, MGTOW, black pill stuff. It's all poorly researched, which is why they frequently come to bad or the wrong conclusions. Their analyses are also often based on a single variable or factor. It's usually things suck because women are bad, and they very seldom listen to the other side's reasoning for why they behave like they do. It's a major reason why I distanced myself from those communities. In the Black Pills case, this is particularly offensive because their entire moral argument is telling people to give up because they weren't born with the right genetics. They straight up tell people that nothing matters except for how you were born, and they have mantras like, never get up, which tells people to not try to change what they can. Don't go to the gym, don't work on your appearance, don't try to get a good job, don't work on your social skills. I mean, you're taking a bunch of depressed people, telling them that everything is doomed, and following that with don't try to improve your life. This is legitimately suicide fuel, and it's why I decided to make this video. Because oftentimes I see guys like this 35-year-old virgin who's a little down on his luck, but I've seen enough of his content to know that he looks fine, and if he just lost weight, socialized more, and stopped being a pushover, he would have no problem getting a girlfriend.
The darkest thing that, in my opinion, the black pill has done, okay, the worst thing that it's done, that like incel culture has done, is convince average men that it's over. It's such a dark thing. Because like average to ugly men have like run the world for the past like 3,000 years. The rulers of countries, of civilizations, the greatest artists, thinkers, thought leaders in the world have been like 5'8", kind of quote unquote fugly guys. It's never really mattered. But there are people that would have you think that if you're under 6 foot, you're totally and can never breed, that no woman will ever be capable of loving you. Like, it's like insane.
As for King Nobody, outside of the weight, it seems like most of his problem is that he's socially awkward, but you can fix that. I've also watched enough of his content to know that he was a former alcoholic. Imagine where he would be if he had gotten into the black pill. he'd still be drunk every day or worse. And who knows, maybe he was blackpilled and finally woke up in his 30s. But how many years of his life did that waste? So there are plenty of guys out there who are perfectly fine like King Nobody, or there are guys that are on their glow-up arc who angry blackpillers are trying to poison into giving up. What's this commenter's problem? This guy is going to do just fine finding a relationship, and during the video, he talks about going on dates with women who like him. Sure, he's really awkward in front of the camera, but he can fix 90% of that problem by just sitting down or by learning how to properly frame a shot. Now, of course, there are people who are further back than others or way further back, but telling them to give up instead of figuring out how to make do with what they have will only make them more miserable, which will make their lives worse and push them towards ending it. You may have not been born under the best circumstances, but you can always work with those circumstances to create a life that you're happy with. Going back to the video clips of Danny, it's not just him saying that he's short. You can see that he's the same height as Destiny as he stands next to other people.
Could I ask you something?
Yeah.
Which of these two photographers do you think is better?
One guy, tall, handsome, obviously very fit. This other guy, other than like, I guess a good jawline, he looks kind of nerdy, kind of shrimpy.
With that in mind, let's watch this next clip that Rehab responded to.
Thanks. Lighting equipment.
Yeah, you are super cute.
Oh, thank you.
We're gonna kidnap you for drinks.
Yeah.
They are gonna kidnap him for drinks, guys. When did that ever happen to you? Or to even average guy, not even you, but for the Oofy Doofy as well. Like, Oofy Doofies are going to Japan to pay $500, $600 just to have a chance to have a drink with them. That is the difference. And these two chicks here are so DTF. So DTF. Both of them. He could have hit them both at the same time.
So this is missing some context from yet another thing that would be easy to research. If you see any of Danny's videos on camera, which I imagine Rehab Room would have looked up because he's rating Danny's appearance, then it is very apparent that he is very feminine. I was actually shocked to hear that he wasn't gay because I instantly thought that the second I saw him, and I had to watch hours of content to find out that he wasn't. So when you see these women saying, "You're so cute, we're gonna steal you away for some drinks," as they hug a stranger despite living in what looks like a city, it is likely that they're doing that and are open to him not because they're attracted to him, but because they think he's gay and not a threat. And also, he just gave that girl a bunch of free professional quality photos, which can be expensive. I'm not saying that this is the reason, but it's frustrating to watch video after video from Rehab Room where there's only one answer to every question. Everything is about appearance. Women don't like you? Well, it's because you're a sub-5 male. You suck at PlayStation? That's because adults didn't give you enough positive reinforcement as a kid because you were too ugly. Rehab Room is very much a one-trick pony, and this is very lazy analysis of a problem. But despite Danny's shortcomings, despite being awkward, despite being below average in height, he still makes it work, and as far as I can see, it works very well. This guy has no difficulty getting some very attractive women to pay attention to him. But just in case you still don't think that social skills are important, here's a guy impressing women that I'm sure that Rehab Room would say is not attractive, nor is he tall, as he's almost the same height as Emiru, who is 5'3".
Can I have both of your hands for this trick?
Yes.
A little bit closer, like right here.
Oh my, yes.
As you can see, this is a Sharpie.
Uh-huh.
So, like I said, this is a Sharpie, and Sharpies don't tend to erase that well when you draw something on your hand.
Yeah.
But regardless, I'm going to draw a little heart mark just like this.
Cute.
Now, like I said, although Sharpies don't erase well, they can actually transfer, so I can just get rid of it just like that. And now it's actually inside my hand, but if I flick it right inside yours, you can slowly feel the heart being drawn. And
what?
Flip it over.
What? What? What?
Yeah.
Wait, that was so cool. What?
That was really amazing.
Wow, how did he do that? How is he able to impress them despite not being an 8 out of 10? After watching Rehab's videos, I would have thought that Emiru would have called the police on him just for being in the same room because he's not a Chad. I'll wait for one of the 5 counter-arguments that blackpillers seem to exclusively use.
Giving DBDR solid, good, genuine advice
is as effective as trying to teach your dog to speak English. It'll usually just result with him thinking you're either A, a gaslighting normie, B, coping, C, someone who hasn't watched enough of his videos and wouldn't understand, D, a boomer who doesn't understand current times, or E, Chad Stacy that could never understand.
This guy did his research. This is basically every black pillar that I've seen respond to criticism. They love to dismiss alternative opinions with non-arguments. They love to say things like, you're too old to understand the dating market, things have changed. This is despite the pure irony of them trying to explain complex relationship issues without ever having been in a relationship. So I'll wait as they cry anecdote on the magician guy, despite the fact that the vast majority of evidence they use for their points is anecdotes, while at the same time, the non-anecdotal research they use tends to be very bad proof of their points. Moving on, I find it so ironic that Rehab Room considers himself well-researched when he constantly uses a univariate analysis to describe every problem in life. It's actually annoying to watch as a viewer while he basically makes the exact same video over and over again with the same conclusion every single time. And he also uses the same 5 clips of David Goggins or cringe PUAs in every video. There is straight up no variation in his content. I had to have watched around 30 videos that were all the same. Here's a person in my story. Is he attractive? No? Well, then his life sucks and nothing will ever get better. Here's a different person who is attractive. His life is on easy mode, I'm jealous, and I want him to suffer.
The other day I was at a sneaker store, and the kid working there, you know, the sales associate guy, was some 8 out of 10 pretty boy. Like a legit good blend of neo-tennis features and masculine features. Compact mid-face, youthful baby face, but also a good jawline. Good hair, you know, good eye area and stuff. And just from the way he was smiling when he was talking to me, just from his manners, I could tell that he was genuinely happy about his life. It wasn't a fake expression that he puts on for customers. He probably got some action that morning, only a few hours ago. You know, I can't tell. I couldn't help but feel an immense sense of jealousy right there and then. I wanted to be like, dude, wipe that smile off your face. You are annoying, but of course, you can't say that. Manners don't allow that. Bro, I don't like people that are too happy and positive.
That's sad on his part and also kind of sociopathic. But going back to standards of proof for their arguments, Rehab Room's content is full of research blunders, including using the same study multiple times to come to the wrong conclusion.
It is a statistical fact that most women consider 80 to 90% of men to be below average in looks. So there is a little difference if you're a 5 or a 6. Expandable.
I told you these people always have to use that OKCupid study. But really? Statistical fact? He's going to make a strong claim like that from a study that was missing basic crucial information like how many people were in it? I don't know where this claim on the right comes from or this middle graph because he doesn't cite the sources for them as far as I can tell, but let's pretend the numbers are real despite not being able to verify them. Do you notice anything? Women don't really give much of a response to anyone. Even the top guys only got about as much attention as the bottom 20 to 30% of women. To explain that, for one, you have to rule out all the coomers that message women on these apps asking for nudes, which is not an insignificant number. Obviously, women aren't going to respond to those. Second, men are the pursuers of the relationship, so of course they're going to show more interest in women. That's men's job. Women aren't supposed to approach men, they are supposed to be approached, so they're only going to do that for guys if they are above their level. Third, how were these numbers obtained? What were the population sizes of the male and female groups in the study? Did they check how many profiles the men swipe through versus how many profiles the women swipe through? Did they rule out female bots or profiles that are used to promote OnlyFans? Did they account for the fact that way more men use these apps than women, so of course they're going to get less attention and less likes? So I don't think this chart is evidence that a 3 out of 10 guy would not get attention from a 3 out of 10 girl if he asked her out in person, which, by the way, is an area where he's not competing with 2 other guys, if not more, because a lot of the female accounts are bots. Have you ever tried going outside before and asking a woman out in person like a man? Grow a pair. So, welcome to research. You can't just look at the numbers. You have to critically think about how those numbers were obtained and what might be the reasoning for them. But as I've shown in this video, this is not an isolated incident. Rehab Room pretty frequently makes wild claims based on studies he clearly hasn't criticized or tried to break. I've already gone over a couple of them in this video, so I'll just give one more example here, because this one led to the most ridiculous conclusion that I saw him make. And not to say that I've gone through every study that Rehab has posted, but the ones I have were just garbage proof of what point he was trying to make, and he makes a ton of assumptions. I mentioned before that Blackpillers believe that everything is genetic and luck-based, and here's Rehab flat out saying that everything is luck.
Luck is everything. That's why I like Harvey Dent's character. He has that famous line, "This life is cruel. In a cruel world like this, the only morality is luck." It really is. The only morality of this world we live in is luck. Pure, sheer, blind luck. What matters in life, what truly matters, you cannot change. And what you can change doesn't matter all that much. Your entire life was determined the moment you were born.
Like I said, these are the same things that woke people believe. You can't ever succeed because you were born black in the wrong part of town. Same shit, different day. How demoralizing. Why would anyone ever fix themselves after hearing this? Anyway, Rehab believes so much that everything is luck that he makes this argument.
Even hard work is genetic. That is what a lot of people are missing.
Holy shit, I cannot believe he just said that. What isn't genetic to these people? Are they going to say that accents are genetic now? Because I know they love to complain about how they can't get a girl because they talk like a foreigner. So if you're going to say that hard work is genetic, then you better have some very strong proof, because this sounds like obese people blaming their genetics because they don't understand how calories in versus calories out works. I can't work hard. I have the wrong genes.
In the past, you know, laziness has already been linked to some genetic factors, but there is actually a more comprehensive study made about this in 2021, using and comparing 2,000 Japanese twin subjects.
Now, I have watched a lot of videos from Rehab Room, but I've yet to see him mention what he does for a living or what his field of study was in school. But I will say that you better have a background in genetics and psychology if you're going to accurately fact-check this study to the extent that you can make the strong claim that you made. Though considering how bad he's been with all the other research, I seriously doubt it. But whether he does or not, surely he wouldn't quote directly from the abstract multiple times.
Without boring you guys with the details, I will just share the important lines from that study. I quote, "Univariate genetic analysis revealed that individual differences in conscientiousness measures were moderately attributable to additive genetic factors, to an extent from 62 to 64%. We obtained no evidence that shared environmental influences were observed. Multivariate genetic analysis showed that for the four measures used to assess conscientiousness, genetic correlations were stronger than the corresponding non-shared environmental correlations."
Great, so we have Noah Sampson levels of research here. The abstract is just a summary of the important findings. It's not the study. Anyone who says, "I read a study," and quotes directly off the abstract should be laughed at. So many YouTubers do this to pretend they know how to read research, when in reality, the study is in the methodology and the results sections, not the abstract. Now, surely the remaining material that he uses isn't just him parodying exact quotes that come directly from the discussion section, is it? Oh wait, he does do that. Seriously, I'm not even a scientist and I have to go around teaching everyone research methodology, which means all these YouTubers are failing at this at a beginner level. Rehab, you're supposed to be the expert here, which means your discussion of the study to your audience should include your thoughts on how the terms were defined, their methodology, and the results they got. The discussion section is their interpretation of the results, which should be read, but if you have not received adequate training in that field to give your interpretation of how they collected that data, then you should not be using this study as proof of your argument. Researchers make mistakes constantly, and their methods and results should not be trusted blindly. Not to mention, the biggest eye roll here is that after Rehab Room reads out direct quotes from the study without translating any of it into common language, he calls his audience stupid. Is there any self-awareness here? You essentially spend the remainder of that video after the study saying that many of your viewers are too stupid to reap the benefits of hard work, and yet you think they know what a genetic intercorrelation is, or a polygenetic factor, or even what the word conscientious means? I really think the reason that he didn't elaborate more on this study is because he didn't actually understand it either. But what a shock, an internet researcher doing bad research. Okay, now full disclosure, I am not a trained geneticist, so I'm not going to be able to fact check absolutely everything in this study. However, I do know a bit about psychology and biology, so I have a few comments. First and foremost, this study was an online survey, like it was just a questionnaire of mothers of identical and fraternal twins, followed by a personality test. When I watched this video from Rehab, I thought they were full-on taking DNA samples of genes that they had already linked to the ability to work hard, and seeing if they could predictively link them to test subjects who were hard workers. That's a way that you might be able to obtain strong evidence here. But in reality, all they did was say, "Hey, are you a mother of twins? Yes? okay, we'll take this online survey and we'll give you some shopping money. This was all self-reported data, obtained in the financially cheapest way possible. The ironic part of this is that Rehab Room almost constantly tells his audience to not trust self-reported data, particularly from women.
You see women do it all the time. They say, oh, I just like how funny he is. He just happens to be 6'4". Women state that, say that it is the kindness they find most attractive in men. Like, you be the judge whether it is the truth.
Hey, I recognize that study. It's the one with the huge population size from the Noah Sampson video. Though this looks like yet another study that Rehab Room didn't actually take the time to read, because he definitely would have used data from it that shows women saying they prefer an attractive face over an attractive body, because that fits his confirmation bias. So you're welcome for that. More interesting, let's look at the section about height. It says that about 10% of women said they didn't care about height, 80% said the guy only had to be taller than them, and only 10% of women said he had to be much taller. So it's not over for every guy who's not 6'10". All you have to do is be taller, so go find a woman who is shorter than you. It should be easy because women are like 4 inches shorter than men on average. But find that woman in real life. Back to the hard work study. Like I said, it was just an online survey where they ran a couple of questionnaires and did some predictive math as far as I can understand. Which begs the question of, how in the hell were they able to gauge the importance of environmental factors? The best they can do is measure common experiences like, do you play sports? But it's not like they're going to Little Timmy's soccer practice. Wait, they're Japanese. It's not like they're going to Little Daisuke's soccer practice and seeing how the coach interacts with the players or what the team dynamic is. So their ability to truly measure environmental factors here is almost non-existent. Even with that in mind, they still didn't say it was a guarantee that it was genetic and you're screwed if you don't have the right genes. Now, I don't know how to calculate these numbers, so I'm going to give Rehab Room heavy amounts of charitability and assume they're all correct. Even if they are right, it's still not a guarantee, which I point out because Rehab Room not only put up a graphic saying it's genetic, he also said it several times during the video.
This is a brutal BP, guys. Even hard work is genetic. Guys, the more we learn about human anatomy and genetics, the more understanding we have. It turns out that hard work is also genetic. If you are not hardworking, that is fine. Don't blame yourself. Because guess what? Even hard work is genetic.
I will caveat and say that he does spend about half a second at the beginning saying that this is not a guarantee, and later he says it's only one study, but he insists that hard work is genetic so many times that nobody in the audience is going to remember that he initially introduced doubt. I didn't until I had watched the video multiple times. It doesn't matter if you give the disclaimer of, there's doubt in this, if you just end up saying there's no doubt in it a bunch of times later in the video. Last but not least, I do happen to know that psychological traits that are measured by the Big Five Aspects test like conscientiousness can change with age. By the way, just for familiarity, the Big Five Aspects test is that survey that Jordan Peterson promotes all the time. Maybe this will help some people stay on the same page here, but more importantly, the researchers note that conscientiousness, as in the trait that Rehab Room was relating to hard work, can change with age. It's right there in the study, Rehab. Seriously, how does this happen every time? We have Ludwig, Noah Sampson, Ethan is online, Illimation, and now Rehab Room, making mistakes that are easy to not make if they just read the shit they were citing. You don't even have to think or have a background in the field, they just tell you. They also tell you multiple times in the study that these things are just related and they're not a guarantee. And when you say over and over again that hard work is genetic, when the study doesn't say that, it makes you look stupid. That's why you should have a more reserved opinion when you cover this stuff, so you don't unintentionally mislead your audience. So we have a study that says there are strong genetic correlations to conscientiousness, or what Rehab Room defines as hard work, but the study barely does anything to determine if environmental factors were what was actually affecting levels of conscientiousness, probably because doing so would be prohibitively expensive or impossible to study. And for the most part, this is why I hate these kinds of studies in the biological sciences. They are dog shit, and yet people keep doing them. They keep taking complex factors that we have nowhere near the technology to investigate and try to break them down into something that's cheap and easy to study, but has a very large possibility of being inaccurate. I know this is how drugs are made, but drugs fail or don't do what they're supposed to all the time. And more importantly, drugs go through clinical trials before there's any policy recommendation, whereas plenty of influencers will say the most wild shit based on a random study that says something like, Material A increases Material B, therefore Material A makes you live longer, ignoring the fact that there are like 20 other materials or factors that affect Material B, as well as affect longevity. Nutrition scientists do this shit constantly, and it is very frustrating. It's so frustrating that I'm going to show a coffee enthusiast explaining why this kind of science is mostly dumb.
So someone made a video saying, skip coffee because it will cause you to spike your cortisol and therefore put on body fat. And he makes the point that first part is true, coffee spikes cortisol. But if you actually look at the randomized control trials, that isn't what you see.
If we take people and we have them take caffeine or drink coffee and all other things are equal, do they gain body fat? No, they do not. In fact, sometimes the opposite happens.
And his argument is what you've got here is a single mechanism.
You find a mechanism, a specific hormone, and you say, ooh, this raises that hormone. That means you're going to get this downstream effect. Outcomes are not just a single mechanism. Usually, whole body outcomes are the accumulation of hundreds, if not thousands of mechanisms all occurring at the same time that actually results in an outcome.
And so you can't just pull one mechanism and expect it to sort of directly produce a certain outcome in the world of biology.
It's actually even worse than that. Here's part two.
The thing about mechanisms is you can just totally cherry pick them. I'll give an example. Adenosine, mentioned earlier on, well, genuinely, it increases hair growth and hair thickness. And so if coffee does cause you to have higher levels of adenosine in the blood, then drinking coffee should give you a fuller, thicker head of hair. Clearly ridiculous. Or is it? The message of this whole video is be skeptical of simple mechanisms impacting complex kind of outcomes.
So with all that said, I really just don't like how demoralizing Black Pill creators are. I very much think they're taking a bunch of average people who have low self-esteem, but actually aren't that bad, and making their self-esteem far worse by telling them that most women hyperfocus on things that they don't actually hyperfocus on. Sure, appearance is important, but rehab will have you thinking that if you're not a Chad, then you should just give up because your life is over.
How do you see this facial expression, this cringing out of my mind face being given to you, and you can still keep doing this? Bro, just sit on your behind and play some video games. That is what you gotta do. That would be a lot more productive. And look at his bio. Oh, life is all about creativity. No, brother, you have been sold a lie. Life is all about looks, ain't about creativity. Which you had to find out the hard way. He isn't the rat. He would be better off if he spent that time looking at a wall, looking at a brick wall. He would have saved himself a lot of rejections at least. So guys, this is what I am talking about. How much longer can you keep doing this? This is truly soul crushing, man. I don't know how you can keep doing this.
Jeez, this guy Rehab is such a wuss. Z gets a little pushback and Rehab Room is like, it's over, give up. Give up on your social hobby and switch it for a non-social hobby like gaming. It's moments like this that make it very hard for me to believe that Rehab ever actually tried in his life, considering that he's so fearful of the slightest thing going wrong. For example, how do you get a good job if you're this afraid of rejection? Also, keep in mind, I found this during my research as well, but Z is a beginner at this and he's only had 3 weeks of training in photography, so of course he sucks. How is he supposed to become good if he doesn't experience failure? Does Rehab not see how he's giving toxic advice? Now, I will say that during all of my time watching Black Pill content, one of the most confusing videos I've watched was this one called How to Unloser Yourself in Your 30s, where Rehab tells people to looks max, talks about how to get a good job that pays well, and talks about how to prevent balding, which is great. I will add that if you started losing your hair, get on medical treatment and medical therapy immediately. But this was the most confusing video of his that I've seen. I also saw this moment where Rehab talks about how he used to be an alcoholic and gave advice on how to quit drinking. So despite all the really depressing messaging, I began to think that maybe he's actually trying to help people. Then I began to think more about Black Pill creators in general and the reasoning behind why Black Pill creators like DBDR were popular in that community and why so many people watch the I'm a 35-year-old virgin videos. I think it's because hearing other people's stories about how they're going through the same things makes them feel better. Rehab Room has some pretty awful and resentful takes, but I'm actually shocked that he hasn't fallen into complete malevolence, considering that he doesn't like his family and seems to not have friends or have been in a relationship. It's also shocking that despite the research blunders and low-effort fact-checking, he does seem to genuinely be trying to make his channel successful and puts a decent amount of work in, and his viewership is really high for a channel with only 20,000 subscribers. With that into consideration, I will say that if Rehab is trying to help people, then this is not the way to go about it. It's one thing to tell a relatable personal story or expose a grifter, But at the same time, if people like Rehab are making statements like, the black pill saves lives, but are constantly saying give up or you can't change things that matter, then they're going to push a lot of people into ending themselves, especially if his channel gets bigger. It's something to think about because instead of your message having the intended effect of helping people accept their lot in life, you could end up harming them. For example, stuff like this is terrible advice.
But I know what people say. Oh, be honest and open up to your mistakes like a real man. No, you have to blame something or someone else. Never acknowledge criticism. I am always setting things up so that I can deflect to others. If there's a problem down the line, hey man, it is not my fault. This is on QA team. What are they getting paid for if I am gonna do this as well? You know, again, you cannot do this if you are caught red-handed. This is why how you do this matters. If you try to blame others and people can tell it is a blatant lie, then you are gonna lose credibility. And by the way, I am not telling you to lie to yourself. The difference is this, and this is important. Internally take notes and don't repeat it again. Internally acknowledge and try to see what you did wrong.
He's relaying something that he learned from the 48 Laws of Power, which was in a section that was obviously for people like politicians, that talks about how you can make it so you can manipulate mass groups of dumb people. But putting this kind of thing into practice in your personal life will make people hate you. Everybody knows that guy or that girl who blames their problems on everyone else, and they don't like that person. And it's especially bad in a relationship when someone won't ever take responsibility for mistakes they've made or bad things they've done. I understand that he gave a caveat, but since no one is actually seeing his humility, I can't help but think that this mentality very negatively affects Rehab Room in his personal life when it comes to his family, friends, and potential relationship prospects, and it's why he's not doing well in these areas. It's certainly affecting his content because his entire format is just blaming others for his problems. Literally nothing is his fault.
One thing that successful people do to gaslight people in tough situations, in unfortunate situations, is running the narrative that it is their bad choices that led them there. They say, oh dude, you just didn't work hard enough. You didn't try enough. Because then they can still cling on to their just world fallacy.
Since we're talking about influencing others, I would highly recommend reading this chapter of Robert Cialdini's book that talks about how admitting to and apologizing for mistakes actually makes people trust you more. Obviously, this can be done sociopathically if you're an asshole, but the point is that you're not going to ruin your reputation by admitting to a fault. Now, I get it. Some people are born way less fortunate than others. Some people lose their hair at 19. Some guys grow out to be 5'1". Some people have bad facial features. But the good news is that many unfortunate things people were born with can be fixed by modern technology, and that technology is always getting better. Outside of that, you have to focus on things that you can change because that will make you feel more in control of your life and make you happier. Contrary to what Rehab Room says, you can change things that matter. It's a lot better to be ugly in a luxury car than it is to be ugly in a shitter car that's 10 seconds away from breaking down. So fight to get a good job. It's a lot better to be ugly with friends than it is to be ugly without friends. Yes, it is possible to socialize even if you're not a Chad. And last, you can work on your addictions because it's easier to be happy when you aren't a 300-pound guy who drinks every day. But most importantly, your life gets a lot easier if you don't constantly fill up your head with limiting beliefs. As for Rehab, unfortunately I didn't timestamp this so I don't know where I saw it, but basically I watched him say that if he ever gets a girlfriend, then he's a sellout and not a true black pillar. What kind of shit is that? His obscene dedication to being a true Scotsman for the sake of consistency basically ensures that he will never get something that he very obviously wants deeply. Because based on what he said in the past, the minute he gets a girlfriend, he's a grifter. And also in that same light, if he ever gets successful at YouTube through hard work and merit, then he's a sellout. He spends like half his videos setting up traps for himself that limit his ability to succeed, which is stupid because clearly based on his subscriber to view count, he has the potential to be a big channel. After watching like 30 of his videos, I very much see the outline of a creator who's entertaining enough to be successful, provided that a few things were fixed. Now, I don't know the future, but I can't imagine that it's helpful for him to say multiple times that he's a hypocrite if he ever experiences success. Then you have shit like this.
Sometimes the damage is done in life, man. You can looks max, maybe get to a certain looks level, but you will still have that bitterness in you. You will always remember how you were treated before. You will have that jaded feeling inside you. Like, for example, if I had traded looks with that kid at the store all of a sudden, right? Poof, we traded looks. I would still have that corner of darkness calling for me. That is what happens when you are too late to something, to that place. Sure, I would feed my ego, go bang a different smoke show, different cutie every day, get my ass kissed everywhere I go. But like, I wouldn't be able to turn into him mentally. Wouldn't have that genuine enthusiasm and naivety about life.
As someone who was unsuccessful for a long time and then achieved pretty sizable amounts of success, I can say if you do achieve success, after about 6 months, you'll forget what a failure that you used to be. It's pretty easy to let that stuff go when things are going well for you. Consider that. Anyway, thanks for watching, follow me on Twitter, and I'll see you in the next video.